Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Overcoming the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony podcast, a companion podcast to the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony message series that I preached some years ago. And oh, how prophetic that was, because many of the people who are dying today due to the coronavirus plague are obese. One of the big existing problems that are assisting people to be taken out of here by the coronavirus plague is obesity. Please understand that. And so this is episode number 52. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. The purpose of this podcast is to share with you from a biblical perspective the means by which we can combat and overcome the sin of gluttony and its outcome of obesity, diabetes, heart problems, and many other deadly issues. Beloved, our passage from the Word of God today is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, which reads, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." By the way, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters in Christ, what's wrong with America, what's wrong with the American church, is we play too much. I know you don't like it, but we play too much, and that's why we can't take nothing. I know that's a double negative, but I want you to get the point straight from the hood. That's why we can't take nothing. We can't discipline ourselves to save our lives. We can't stay quarantined to save our lives. We can't be alone to save our lives. We got to go running around here getting the coronavirus and everything else, trying to see somebody when the people, the doctors and the nurses are begging us to stay home for their sake and for the sake of others. Begging us. And yet we got to rip and run, rip and run, rip and run, because we can't take anything. We play too much. And that's what's wrong with the American church. That's what's wrong with America. We play too doggone much. And you all know it's true. And y'all know it's true. Now, let's look at gluttony and its effects in the news. According to Yahoo News, psychologists have long understood that we eat when we're under emotional stress. Dr. Jennifer Dar-Benmaier, PhD assistant professor at the Osher Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, said, "We often overeat, not because we're hungry, but because we want the delicious food to soothe away an unpleasant feeling. And the real harm," she says, "may come later from the shame we feel over our behavior, which can trigger overeating to spiral out of control." So how does one overcome the power of a table, the power of a table of holiday dishes, taunting, "How many are you going to add to your plate?" The answer may lie in practicing what's called mindful eating, a technique that helps you to recognize the signals your body gives you when hungry, or distractions that cause you to overindulge. In a recent study of obese adults led by Dr. Dar-Benmaier, 100 volunteers were were taught mindfulness-based stress reduction techniques like meditation, yoga, and mindful eating drills designed to empower them to stall mindless overeating. The results reported in a recent issue of the journal Obesity showed that, that's what the journal is called, Obesity, wow, showed that women who experienced the greatest reduction in stress levels from these mindfulness techniques also had the greatest loss of visceral belly fat, the deep, most dangerous fat that forms around internal organs in the abdomen. At the end of the 18-month experiment, the mindful eaters also experienced improvements in fasting blood sugar, the ratio of HDL cholesterol to triglycerides, and a reduction in the percentage of their daily calories that came from candy, cakes, and sugary beverages. Darbin Maya says, if you can train yourself to recognize the reasons for overeating, what she's trying to say is that this is a psychological thing, similar to that commercial you have seen recently, who used the wrong models because all of them are fat. I think they call it Noom, whatever that is. Don't get with that because all those people are fat. Anyway, what you're feeling before you act, you have a greater chance of making a wiser decision. Beloved, in this podcast, we are going through the fine book called The Rave Diet and Lifestyle, The Natural Foods Diet with Meals That Heal by Dr. Mike Anderson. This section is titled Essential Dietary Guidelines, Part 1. Here are a few simple keys to the Rave Diet. The number one golden rule, always eat foods as close to their natural state as possible, period. Eat whole foods that come in their natural packages and avoid foods that come in a package or can unless they are fresh, frozen. Some of these sample menus will contain items that are canned. This is for convenience sake. If you can find the item in its natural state or are willing to take the time to prepare it instead of buying it in a can, then you should do so. Always eat whole foods. In packaged goods, look for the words whole, sprouted wheat, or organic rolled oats in the first ingredient, not the second or third. Always eat whole wheat pastas or whole wheat breads. Make sure the label says whole wheat, not wheat flour. Don't let the words hearty wheat, stone wheat, or multi-grain on the package fool you. Such ingredients are made from refined white flour and there's no difference between white flour and wheat flour. Wheat flour has some caramel coloring and sounds healthier, but it is not. It is a lie. Watch it. Eat a wide variety of colorful foods. Always eat a wide variety of foods because each food has its own special health benefits and disease-fighting profiles, and they work as a team, complementing, reinforcing, and magnifying each other's benefits. And this point is very important. This is the new math of cancer prevention, and eating a variety of foods actually multiplies cancer fighting and cardiovascular benefits because they work together synergistically. Along the same lines, most of the antioxidant benefits of fruits and vegetables come from the component that gives them their color. So make sure your plate is full of different colors. The deeper and darker the colors, the more cancer fighting nutrients. In other words, as they say in the South, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. The magic is in variety. Get in the habit of chopping up vegetables and putting them in containers, or buying vegetables already chopped up. That way you can add a variety of foods to your meal very conveniently. Uncooked food. Eat at least half of your food uncooked. Wow, let me repeat that now for you people, including myself. Uncooked food. Eat at least half of your food uncooked. The more uncooked food, the better. In general, cooked or processed foods contain fewer phytochemicals and antioxidants than fresh and uncooked foods. Some nutrients become bioavailable only when you cook food, while others are only available in the food's uncooked state. Broccoli and other cruciferous vegetables such as cabbage, kale, Brussels sprouts, radishes, and cauliflower are the best sources of a powerful anti-cancer nutrient called sulforaphane. In human tests, the absorption rate of this compound was 10 times higher in uncooked broccoli versus cooked broccoli. Steaming is the best way to cook vegetables. Try to eat your food plain or with herbs and spices. If you buy good tasting products in the first place, you won't need anything on them. Include lots of sprouted grains as a regular part of your meals. A salad is an ideal meal. Let me repeat that. Because some of us are gluttons. We hate salad. A salad is an ideal meal. I don't know if he's going to say this, but I heard somebody say, it might have been him some time ago, that yes, salad is good for breakfast. I said, wow, that's terrible. Anyway, but I'm sure it's good for me. A salad puts into practice the previous four tips about eating. If you find that a salad takes too much time to prepare, simply stop by your local salad bar, be it in a restaurant or supermarket, but bring your own salad dressing or use vinegar without oil. Well, let me repeat that. But bring your own salad dressing or use vinegar without oil. If you use sliced beets, the juice from them can serve as a delicious dressing as well. I never thought of that. That's a good idea. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and all of you gluttons who have just gluttoned out for Thanksgiving, I hear you. If the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for this powerful and great information for our health. Help us, Lord, to take heed to it. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to be disciplined about it. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, my beloved, in this series, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, who eat right, and who exercise regularly, must still address the condition of your soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die. We all will. And the only thing that will matter in this world is the condition of your soul. And so I ask you today, is your soul in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and the consequences of sin. He alone can save your soul, put you in right standing with God, and ensure that you do not perish in hell. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here is how you can trust Him today. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because of what their friends and their family members might say, and unbelieving, those who claim to be agnostics and atheists, and the abominable, cruel and mean and nasty people who do abominable things, abominations, and murderers, people who kill others, and whoremongers, people who have sex outside of the bonds of marriage, and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now that is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. In fact, he suffered, bled, and died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today, and he will save your soul. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I realize and I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. I am sorry for my sins, and today I choose to turn from my sins by your grace and by your help. Help me to repent of my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me. was buried, and rose again. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And with your help, I will follow him as my Lord from this day forward. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life forever today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.